Laura's dead!
Diane, I am holding in my hand a small box of chocolate bunnies. Let yourself be
heard this time. Hello,
and welcome to There Will Be Drinking Recaps. I'm your host. Do you want to go first?
I'm also your host. I'm Kate.
I've never had this.
I should just put it in post.
I'm Murda.
That's Murda over there, guys. We know who that is. If you're anybody who does anything, then you know exactly who these peeps are.
Kaylin, we have two more episodes of podcasting to do. How does it feel?
I'm sad.
I'm really sad.
Really, really sad.
I'm going to miss Twin Peaks. I know that you haven't loved it all the time, but I'm really going to miss this.
It has a special place in my heart. I haven't given it the best room in my heart. Like, it's not in the presidential suite.
It's not in the penthouse.
But it's in that hard hotel.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It has a jacuzzi and HBO.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Oh, definitely. There's room service 24/7.
Great.
Yeah. Coffee.
I would stay there.
That's on brand.
What about pie? Do they serve pie?
Fuck yeah, they serve pie, but just to that room.
Okay.
Well, no, that's not true, because pumpkin pie goes to the room where I keep Thanksgiving.
Okay. Same hotel?
Yeah, and really arguably the same space. I'm not crazy about Thanksgiving. Christmas, however, has a presidential suite.
I agree. Thanksgiving is bullshit.
What is it?
I feel like we've already lost all of our fans probably by making that statement.
No.
Christmas, the best.
Christmas,
holiday.
Best. Christmas, great.
Thanksgiving, way overrated.
Thanksgiving, first off, what are we celebrating? Destruction of an indigenous people. And then, I don't know.
Shitty food.
Yeah, it's not the best food ever. I like it. I'll
eat it. Turkey is the driest of all.
Let me pretense. The only reason that I've given Thanksgiving a room in my heart is because I like any situation where you can eat anything you want and take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
Or eat any amount you want and take a nap.
Yes.
And nobody judges
yes.
you. Because that's something I do on a daily basis, but Thanksgiving is the only day where people are like, right. Oh, it's fine.
Yes.
So that's why it's in my heart. Otherwise, fuck Thanksgiving.
Agreed.
Hashtag no thanks.
Yes. Thanks, but no thanks.
Thanks, but no Thanksgiving.
That's like literally what that hashtag was made for.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
It's only for Thanksgiving.
I think so. Who originally created that hashtag was talking about Thanksgiving.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. What holiday do you think Sorry Not Sorry is for?
Oh, sorry.
Indian weddings?
Sorry. Yeah.
The sorry.
Holy.
The not sorrys are like the white people at the weddings.
Yeah. Holy.
Like, sorry,
Diwali.
Not sorry. Diwali. Sorry, not sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Or I guess it would be the men too.
Yeah.
They're not wearing sorrys.
Yeah, they wear kurtas.
Cool. They wear croutons? Are you sure this isn't Thanksgiving?
Sorry, sorry, not sorry is like a feminist Indian woman who's like I'm going to wear pants.
I'm going to wear
this
pants.
Festival, for God's sake.
Yeah, and a shirt that has a sorry pattern.
Yes.
Because it's a sorry, not
the,
sorry.
The board game.
Right.
Sorry.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Which is a whole bunch of puns.
It's just puns.
Yeah, we took
that. You can't play it, but it's still kind of sorry. There's no doubt.
Wow.
Dice.
Okay, we took it there. All right, so thanks to our Laura Palmers.
To our Laura Pom-Poms.
To the Bureau.
To the Bureau. Cheers to the Bureau.
Cheers.
In these Laura Pom-Poms, as we have been drinking them for the last... how many episodes has it been now? 47 episodes.
Of the mothership.
No, of this podcast. Because there's 30 of the original seasons.
Whoa.
And now 17 of this, so 47, because math is a thing I
can
do sometimes.
Wow, we have the same amount of episodes out as our podcast?
We actually have more episodes than Twin Peaks, because we made the fan fiction and the porno episode and the Mother's Day episode.
Wow.
So we actually have, this is our 50th.
We've worked so hard at this.
This is our 50th episode.
Holy shit.
Wow. No, but then we did the live one too. Well, so,
to the bureau.
To the motherfucking bureau. Okay. Guys, if you don't know what's in the Laura Palmer, just think about Arnold Palmer and put bourbon in it.
Yep.
It's not hard.
Yep.
We've explained this now 50 times. I'll do it again. It's black tea infused bourbon, lemon juice, and any amount of sweetener you want, which sometimes can be none.
Yes. I prefer none.
Guys, it's so easy. And if you're throwing it down like Three's Brewing does, where you make it special for our live shows, you put a little mint in there.
I love
that's
Three's
so
Brewing.
Classy.
I love you.
We never put mint in it because we're not classy. You're hugging yourself.
I'm pretending that Three's Brewing is between me and between my body and my arm.
That's a small space for an entire brewery.
I know. I have a shrink ray.
Just
in case you didn't.
That's
know.
Useful.
Super useful.
It's super useful.
That's why my move was so easy.
Is it as useful as like space bags? You know, when you suck the air out of them.
Even better.
It's even more useful.
I would give it 5 stars on Yelp. A shrink ray.
A shrink ray. Yeah.
So a lot of things you could do with a shrink ray.
What can you do with a shrink ray, Monroe?
Ooh.
A tiny little Ray Monroe.
Well, I would imagine that Ray Monroe also happens to be able to shrink things, right?
Can he?
I would think that the shrink ray run Ray Monroe.
Shrink Ray Monroe. It's hard to say that.
It's really hard.
That's a Twin Peaks tongue twister.
Shrink Ray Monroe. Okay.
We did it. Speaking of Ray Monroe, he makes a tiny, tiny little plug in the first scene.
Yeah, you want to talk about it?
Do you want to talk about it? Let's get into this, mother.
It's you.
I know it's me. I'm getting ready. That's why I said, let's get into this, mother. Do you think somebody who's not ready and who stands at the back of like, the pack would go, let's get into this, mother? No, it's when you're standing at the front, you open the door and you're like, come on, guys.
Because girls,
ladies,
we run this, mother.
Let's get in here. Okay, so right off the bat, let's start with a dick joke.
That's where it started.
What? Yes. Gordon Cole is there. He's sitting in the office. We know what happened in the last episode. Diane Tulpa poofed into midair, and Gordon's like, I couldn't do it. And I think he's talking about killing Diane.
Yeah, he couldn't shoot her because Tammy and Albert did.
Right, exactly. And he's like, I couldn't do it. And Albert hands him a drink and is like, you've gone soft in your old age. And then Gordon Cole says quietly to himself, which is amazing because he never says anything quietly. And he says, not where it counts.
Buddy.
All I could think of was like.
Right away, you're just introducing.
Now I'm just thinking about David Lynch's dick. Like, thank you. Now for the rest of this episode, I have to think about not only David Lynch's dick, but that it's hard and the rest of him is wrinkly.
Well, and that he like. Exploded his hard cock all over Twin Peaks.
Not where it counts, which coming from a 70-year-old means I'm very friendly with Viagra.
Okay, I feel like we throw around his age a lot. Let's verify.
He's in his 70s.
Let's verify it.
I know for a fact he's in his 70s.
I believe you. 71.
I'm an encyclopedia David Lynch now, and I know he's in his 70s. Well, apparently his 71-year-old cock is rock hard.
All the time. That seems like a problem.
No wonder he can't hear. All the blood is in his cock.
Okay.
Anyway, so now we go into some exposition. Gordon Cole's like, now listen to me. And then he doesn't talk for like 20 seconds.
Yeah, he leaves, funny. He drops a pregnant pause.
I know. I enjoyed that because I thought it was a little funny. he's talking about, I've been keeping this 25-year-old secret from you, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, which I think this is the last time we see him. So.
Oh, my God.
Goodbye, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
No. He runs in at the. At the bureau. I mean, at the Twin Peaks Sheriff Station. He doesn't have any lines there.
Right. But
okay. He's there.
Okay. So anyway, he's like, I've been keeping this secret from you. Major Briggs, back in the Dizzle, found an evil force called
That's what Philip Jeffries
Which sounds Chinese.
Yes.
Okay. And I only say that not because I used to speak it at a period in time, and I was like, oh, that sounds like it's spelled maybe. I would guess it's like J-I-A-O-D-E.
It's J-O.
Or J-A-O.
It's J-O-W-D-A-Y.
Okay, well, that's not Chinese then.
No, he says it's like Indian.
Oh, okay, cool.
Also, because like based on listening to The Secret History of Twin Peaks, when I was listening to it, there is like when it goes all the way back to where Lewis and Clark like went to this area, and it was inhabited by tall men like the firemen.
Oh.
And they were like the
gatekeepers.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So it's.
Well, also, Zhao Day.
Yes.
Could be mistaken for. Well, he's saying that in the scene, he's saying it must be Judy, but it also could be Jade.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's
mm-hmm. true. Like interchangeable because words. Can become many different things.
Oh, come especially from like an origin. Over time. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. They can be mistaken for things. Didn't, but Sam on our live episode mentioned that puns are doppelgangers.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I think is great. So anyway, Gordon Cole's talking about Judy and he's like, you know, something happened to Briggs.
Yeah, because he discovered this entity.
Right. So me, Briggs, and Agent Cooper knew about this entity. Something happened to Briggs, and then something happened to Cooper, and I think something's going to happen to me. And then Philip Jeffries knew about it as well, and he told me a long time ago he's into this business, and now he's gone.
So everyone who's been chasing after.
Everyone is chasing after, and now I'm left. And Cooper told me before he left, he said, if I disappear like the others, come find me. I want to kill two birds with one stone, and now there's two Coopers. And then Gordon Cole drops a bomb on us. If you're not paying attention, he'll fly right by you.
Ray Monroe
is an FBI informant.
Yes.
And that he let them know that Poopy Coopy was headed for these coordinates,
yes.
which are Twin Peaks. So we have that confirmed. And he feels like he should have heard from Dale Cooper, from the Cooper, and not Poopy Coopy. And he's like, I feel like we should hear from him for right now. Well, guess what? The phone rings, motherfucker. Guess who's on the phone? It's one of the Marx brothers.
It's Headley.
Yeah. But
I love his fucking shiny suit. I said this last episode, but I love his shiny suit.
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern is my watch stop? Has my watch stopped, or is that one of the Marx brothers? I don't know what kind of joke that is, but fine.
Well, because he was like, we found him. He's at the hospital, but he's not here. And so he's like, you're a jokester. Albert's like, you're a real jokester.
Oh, okay. All right. I feel like that's a stretch of a joke there, David Lynch, but that's fine. Bushnell comes in and he's got a message for Dougie, and he takes the phone away from Headley and he's like, hey, am I talking to a fellow old dude? And Gordon Cole's like, yes, you are. And he's like, well, I have a message for you from Dougie. He says, I'm headed to see Sheriff Truman, and it's 2:53 in Las Vegas, which adds up to 10, which is the number of completion, which I'm guessing is some kind of transcendental, maybe Indian.
I'm just thinking numbers. Maybe that's how many women have died, like how many blue rose cases they've had. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Speculation there.
I was unsure what that meant as well. I mean, I knew what the 253 meant. I knew that it obviously added up to 10. But I didn't know what the number
10 means.
What? The number 10 of as the number of completions.
10 being like a set for the way that we count numbers, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, so.
Was there 10 people in the room at the end?
Maybe. Oh, do we have to count it? No.
I'm going to count Andy's.
Okay. The Andy's.
Two Meachums.
That's five.
Then we have three, which is. No, we're already going to be over.
We're already going to be over 10.
Yeah. Because that's three for the Bureau.
Right. And then Freddie, Cooper, Nato, James, Truman, Lucy,
Andy. Well, because
Andy.
I knew that, like, with the log lady saying that, you know, the circle of, like, good, you know, basically like the Bookhouse boys and getting the circle. I didn't know if maybe
at the end
the completion was that.
Was the number 10.
And the circle of people who were at the basically final scene of Twin Peaks.
Well, 10.
Kind of.
10 and sets of 10 are the only numbers that incorporate 0 other than 0. And 0 is like a circle.
Yeah.
So maybe. I mean, if we're getting into weird shit, like, yeah, sure.
No, yeah. That, exponential numbers.
Okay, let's see. So then Bushnell Mullins like, I'm Dougie's boss. And Gordon Cole's like, I'm also Dougie's boss. And then Gordon Cole's like, Dougie's Cooper? What? And then I had a moment where I, what were you going to say?
No, I just like that this is like the one thing he didn't know. Like he seemed to
that
know.
Gordon Cole exactly, didn't know Dougie was Cooper.
Yeah, he knew everything that was going on, but he didn't know that.
Here's something that nobody knows but Cooper. And that I figured out in this episode. Cooper has slept with two sisters, arguably in the same couple days.
Yes.
He slept with Janie and then Diane.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's some soap opera shit right
but
there.
But did he sleep with Diane?
Oh, well, okay, fine. Fine. I think in the universe where he slept with Janie, it happened.
Yeah. Yes, I agree with you. Who knows about Diane?
Who knows if anything happened at all? I mean, if we're gonna get into that, you know, like maybe. Yeah,
but that sex
Cooper
scene was
doesn't
so
exist. Awkward. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Anyway, Gordon Cole's like, pack a lunch, boys. We're going to Twin Peaks. He doesn't say that, but essentially, he says that.
I always say when a group is getting together, they're packing a lunch. I mean, the Andes do bring sandwiches at the later part of this episode. Yeah. They packed a lunch.
So then we go. We are in Twin Peaks next in the next scene, and we are back in the jail cell with hashtag squad goals, not squad goals. And Billy, with his fucking face being gross as shit, is asleep.
For no, like that. Okay, you said this during the live show.
Yes, I did.
About how you were like so unsatisfied that he didn't do anything.
That he didn't poke his finger through his
you.
Face hole.
I agree with you because I'm like, why was he picking at it for no
why
reason
does he
then?
Exist at all?
Yeah.
Why does he exist at all?
But if you're going to show me that scene, like I want to
yeah,
see
have
something
him,
happen.
Have his finger pop through his little pus hole
yeah.
into his mouth and then he can go like, la, 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 I have a worm
in my mouth.
I wanted
to see it.
God, anyway. Chad wakes up, looks over at Billy and says something like, fuck you. And then we move on. And we're traveling on electric wires and like a little, one of those little montage things that comes from episode 8. And then we have Cooper driving on the road. And then we go back to the jail cell. And Nato is like doing all her voices and getting freaked out in the cell. Nato being, for those of you who haven't caught up on her name, it's the, because I think in previous episode we called her the lady with the scars, the blind lady. Anyway, she's doing in her cell.
That was great.
And yeah, thank you. I've been practicing. And Freddie and James are like, what the fuck is going on with her? And they're just staring at her. And then, just because we got to wrap this up, Ben Horn gets a call. We're in the Great Northern Hotel. Ben Horn gets a call. Because we got to wrap this mother up. And he's like, hello? And they're like, we have someone who says he's your brother. He said someone died with his binoculars and he's naked. And Ben's like, I'll send a car. Scene over. Okay.
He's in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Like, how did he get there, though?
I don't know.
That's a far walk.
Maybe that's where the coordinates were. Oh, you mean from, who knows?
From Twin Peaks.
Magic? His foot took him there.
I am not your foot.
I am not your foot, but I am a mechanism of space travel.
That's true. Accurate foot.
Anyway, so Poopy Coopy has pulled up to somewhere in the woods. We can presume it's in Twin Peaks because a familiar scene is about to happen. He is walking into the woods and he finds the like gold oil hole where
he's basically
near
at the
Jack
same,
Rabbit's palace.
He's at the same place that the Pack of Lunch Boys went with,
right.
with
based where on Nato came from.
Yeah. Where Major Briggs sent them.
And the vortex comes in the sky, and this is familiar. We know this place. And then we go to another place that we know, which is the moon space thing that might be the White Lodge.
Yeah.
Yeah, with
or
firemen.
Who knows? I don't
they
even know.
Even fucking know.
I think they're both the Gray Lodge.
Yeah. This whole Black Lodge, White Lodge business
well, because,
is silly.
Because the complexity of morality is.
Is
complicated.
Gray. Is gray.
And
yeah.
I think that's why it's, while we think that this place is good, that's why they're black. It's black and white there.
Yeah.
It's almost to like to create that ambiguity because it's like, what is he? Is he good? Is he evil?
Who,
I don't know.
Could be evil.
No, I mean the fireman.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. He's kind of like an orchestrator.
Yeah. Well, so what I thought about this scene in particular was because he got these coordinates from Diane.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if she knew that this was going to be the result. of this scene. Like he was set, she was sending him to Briggs.
I don't know. It's hard for me to verify what Diane knows and doesn't know.
Yeah, I know. It's complicated.
You know?
I mean, regardless, these were probably the coordinates that Briggs did
have. I mean, you could say maybe Briggs made Diane's tulpa, and that's how she got that information.
But, regardless, like, the coordinates she got were from Briggs. So,
right.
Briggs is going to be sending whoever. Like,
right.
Briggs is the all-being non-fireman guy.
Right.
Like, he's not that guy, but he knows a lot.
Right.
And so, it's almost like that guy, I guess he would have the foresight to say, we're going to send him to these coordinates so that way we can send him to Twin Peaks, and
meet his fate.
To meet his fate, yeah.
Well, let's get there.
Yeah.
So he goes up into the lodge. Briggs is this floating face.
Yeah. Distorted face.
And I guess Poopy Koopy is this weird
cage. He's in a cage, yeah.
In this artistic way. And then he shrinks and he gets sucked up into this French horn that we remember.
He basically is sent to the Twin
and
Peaks.
And he gets spit
station.
Out.
He gets
to the
sent
road.
To the Twin Peaks Sheriff Station the same way that Laura Palmer
got sent to the Palmer
to her house.
And there is a shot of the Palmer house and I always say smoking jacket man, but the fireman basically like Tinder swipes the Laura Palmer house away and sends him to the Sheriff Station. I just basically was thinking that when the fireman spits Poopy Koopy back out onto the road in front of the Twin Peaks fire station, he's saying in his head, like, you ain't getting in this house, Voldemort. I don't know why I thought that. Sometimes these things just pop into my head. Maybe I should make a movie about it.
Sure.
You know, people are doing that.
Yeah.
Just making movies about random shit that pops in their head.
Yeah.
Okay. So Poopy Koopy and his adorable barrette.
I know you love that barrette.
I love this little barrette.
I'm gonna find you one.
It's so
cute. You're gonna be your
He's
Christmas
holding
present.
Holding his hair back out of his face.
I'm gonna get you that.
Very useful. Anyway, he turns around to see the police station, and he's like, and he says out loud, "What is this?" And I wrote, "It's your death, motherfucker." I don't know why I'm so angry about this. Andy sees him. Andy's getting a basket out of the car, and he goes, "Oh my God, Agent Cooper. Holla, you're
Andy
here.
Andy is so sweet.
We're
with
friends." My goodness. Question about Poopy Koopy. Did he always have like dark black eyes?
Yes.
He did?
Yes.
Okay, this is the first time I've noticed it.
Yeah.
Because it's like a full-on close-up. Maybe also I saw it on a TV instead of my laptop. I don't know. He has like the contacts, like black eyes.
No, they've always been.
I don't noticing. Sometimes they're just whoosh. Anyway, NATO is in the station, like, freaking out, like, no, whatever. And Chad is watching her, freaks out, and everybody's watching her. But he takes off his shoe and pulls out his secret foldaway key, which, Chad, where'd you get that?
Yeah, why haven't you gotten it out earlier?
Well, you've been in there for hours, Chad.
Yeah, days.
Also,
like, at least a day, probably.
That key took some serious premeditation. Did you know you were going to be put in jail?
He probably figured at some
He's
point
so
it was
sneaky.
Possible.
Okay, well, anyway, he pulls out his little key. Andy's outside with Poopy Koopy, and he's like, come in, we just made coffee. He comes in, and he's like, Lucy, look, I found Poopy Koopy Cooper. I found Agent Cooper. And Lucy's like, oh, Agent Cooper.
We were just talking about you.
And then Sheriff Frank Truman comes in, and Poopy Koopy's like, Sheriff Truman? And he's like, oh, I'm Sheriff Truman's brother, Frank Truman. And then they shake hands, and they have this moment where it's like, yeah, I know you're my brother's lover. He's not here right now. It's just me. It's very disappointing for us all.
Me too. Yeah. Like,
oh, I know.
This whole thing would have been better if Harry S. Truman,
the president or the old actor from the original Twin Peaks series had showed up. Anyway, so they walk away to go sit down in Truman's office. And while they're doing it, Andy looks off into the distance and gets real weird. And then has a flashback, right, of him moving Lucy and putting her somewhere. And we've seen this before when he was at the Black Lodge or that whatever that stuff is. You're following me. You're with me. I don't have to tell you about it. You know where I'm at, right?
I know where you're at.
Okay, good.
I'm there with you.
Chad gets out of his cell. And then I put dot, dot, dot. I hate this fucking guy. Just so everyone knows what page I'm on with Chad, in case you didn't know. Poopy Koopy is in Truman's office. And Truman, oh, and then Andy's so cute. I'm going to tell Hawk you're here. And like runs away like a little boy. It's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
It is really cute. The whole thing. But then also, he like changes his face at some point and looks to Lucy and says, very important.
Very important.
Very important.
Very important. It's very important.
Do you think he's... Do you think when he says that... Sorry, I'm cutting. I'm not cutting a ton. I'm just cutting a few things.
Tell me what's.
Do you think he was saying like he was gesturing that the phone call she's about to get is very important?
Maybe,
because then when she calls Trubro to tell
that is very important.
Tell him that Cooper's on the phone.
Lucy,
the real Cooper. Cooper. She says it's very important. So like I'm thinking.
Oh yes, that's right. She does say that.
I'm thinking he's
Andy and Lucy are certainly the catalyst for Poopy Koopy's demise.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why Andy
they
had this
goodness.
Vision.
They
that's
are
why,
the
yeah.
goodness. Yeah. So speaking of which, Truman is sitting there with Poopy Koopy and he's like, so you're Agent Cooper. And Poopy Koopy's like, yeah, bro, what about it? And meanwhile, Nato's downstairs freaking out. Billy rips off his bandage but doesn't stick his finger through his little hole, which I really wanted. Andy screams it's very, very important. Chad's lurking around and somehow gets a gun and he's a goddamn coward. Then he sees Andy come downstairs and goes, hey, it's the great good cop Deputy Andy. And I was like, you shut the fuck up, Chad. Andy is a goddamn American treasure. But guess what? Guess who shuts Chad the fuck up?
Freddy, non-American treasure.
Fist. He's not an American treasure, but he's a treasure.
I didn't say he wasn't a treasure.
We could give him nationalization.
The non-resident alien treasure.
I think he could apply to be a citizen.
Yeah, probably.
He probably is
a resident
based
alien.
Based on what he did, I think he could apply for
the Bureau will
a
back
green
him.
Card. The Bureau would back him. Get a work visa through the FBI. Anyway, Lucy's phone rings. And she's like, hello? Who? And we know who the fuck it is. We go back to Sheriff Truman's office. And he's like, so, Poopy Koopy, what are you doing here? And Poopy Koopy's like, oh, I'm just hanging out. And Lucy rings the phone and says over the intercom, hey, Sheriff, you have a call.
It's very important.
He picks up the phone and he goes, it's Coop. Harry, it's not Harry Coop, but it's fine. Don't worry. And he's like, is the coffee made there in Twin Peaks? I'm on my way. And then Truman says, it doesn't matter. At this point, Poopy Koopy pulls a gun. And then Truman pulls a gun.
Yes.
And then Truman's hat pops off his head. And then Lucy, fucking ninja assassin, kills Poopy Koopy. Amazing.
It was really amazing. And then Trubo, too, on the phone with Coop still, the original Coop,
says, I think this one's dead, Agent Cooper. And Poopy, Cooper, sorry, not Poopy.
Don't
Poopy.
Touch the body.
Like, don't touch, stay away from the body. Then Andy and Nato come in.
He brings everyone upstairs
because they can't be downstairs. And then Lucy's like, Andy, I understand cellular phones now.
My favorite.
17 episodes, Lucy. 17 episodes. And finally, you know how it's... First off, they called you on the regular phone. So what are you even talking about?
Well, she understands the use of them because she's like, oh.
Oh, because Cooper called her.
Yeah. But I think, too.
He could have called her from a car phone.
I think this is David Lynch's revelation. Like, I understand.
Next, like 17 episodes of his intern showing him how to put contacts in his phone.
He's like, oh, I get it.
I understand cell phones now. What is this Candy Crush that you are using? Is it something where they deliver smashed candy? Oh, you millennials. Anyway.
Hawk finally joins again.
Hawk comes running in the room and he's like, what happened? What the fuck? I leave for 1 minute and you fucking shoot Agent Cooper. What? God damn it.
I was the spiritual guide of this whole thing.
This place had it together when Harry was sheriff. Then you come in and your hat dances. This place is a fucking disaster. Ugh. Anyway. Then everybody shows. Oh, no. Then the woodsmen come in, right?
Yes.
And there's the ominous music and the lights are going off and the woodsmen come in. And they do some fucking Jesus-ass resurrection shit on Poopy Koopy. Like they've done before.
And Nato's also getting all squawky.
Yeah, Nato's like, they're here.
Yeah.
I know who they are. And then Agent Cooper walks in.
OG Coops!
to see his tulpa getting mutilated. Yes.
His doppelganger.
That's a moment. You know, you walk in to see your doppelganger on the floor and you go, wow, that looks way different than anything I've ever seen in a mirror.
And I love the Meechums.
Is that what my...
I just love the Meechums. Like, they didn't just drop him off. They came
right,
in
they
for
came
the whole
inside.
Thing.
They wanted
They're
to check it
in
out.
It for the long haul with Hooper.
They love him.
They love him,
they love
so,
him so much.
They would propose marriage.
They
like,
would've.
I believe it.
They would have. Anyway, so... Oh, what happens? Oh, I had a revelation about this. Where Poopy Koopy was standing there and watching, Agent Coop, OG Coops was standing there watching Poopy Koopy get mutilated. I was thinking to myself, like, I've had this dream.
Ooh.
I've had a violent dream where I was outside of my body watching my like skin come off. And going like, I feel like this should hurt, but I'm not in that body. So I kind of had this moment where I was like, oh, I get this whole it's all a dream now situation.
Well, it's also like, I mean, like you said, that's like a very visceral feeling.
Yeah. And
this
I
is
think
a feel,
it's a
I
common
think,
feeling as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Not feeling a part of your body. Not feeling whole.
And then also like looking at Freddie and being like, Freddie, is that you? Because sometimes in my dreams when there's like a massive story going on and it's like violent and I don't know why, I'll look at someone I've never seen before and be like, I know who you are. I get it now. It took 50 episodes to finally be like, oh, this is just nonsense. Okay. All right. Anyway. So Cooper looks over at Freddie and he's like, are you Freddie? And Freddie's like, yes. And this is my destiny. Oh, but while that happens, Bob Blob. A big old ball of Bob.
Bob Blob Blob.
Bob Blob Blob comes out and is floating in the air. And Freddy, he starts attacking Freddy. And he kind of looks like he's doing to Freddy what was done to Tracy and Sam, which makes me think that Bob is related or whatever. All of this evilness attacks him the same way.
100% it's all
so
related.
Like if this evilness was a character in Mortal Kombat, it would just have one attack.
Well, my confusion in this scene with Freddy attacking Bob. It's like, Bob is not Judy?
Right. Bob I don't know.
Judy and Bob are different?
Judy and Bob are the same?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I guess Bob could be one vessel
I think he's like
of
one
Judy.
Part of, yeah. Yeah. Maybe.
Anyway,
Freddy punches Bob down into hell. And then Bob comes back and is like, bitch, don't you know I'm from hell?
I love that it comes out.
Don't you know I'm from hell?
I like that it comes out as a fiery lava ball.
I know.
And then it's like, I'm going to kill you, Freddy. I'm coming after you.
He says, I'm going to catch you with my death bag. Is that a come on? I had subtitles on.
Is that actually what it says?
Catch you with my death bag.
Bob says that?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Are you really serious?
Why fucking watch it with the subtitles on?
I did too. I do not.
It's like slowed down verbalization.
Wow.
He says, catch you with my death bag.
That's crazy.
But Freddy's like, nah, you're not gonna, and fucking punches him. And Bob breaks into 1,000 pieces.
Yeah. He murder punched him.
Some argument as to where he went or if he's gone forever.
It seems insane that he would be gone forever.
I know that in Dungeons and Dragons, if a ghost comes back from the astral plane and you banish it, that its entire existence has been taken care of, has been annihilated.
Well, I mean,
I don't know if that applies
if
here.
If Bob and Judy are separate things, I can see Bob dying. And
Judy continuing on. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, after all this stuff happens, Cooper's like, you did it, Freddy. And he comes over and puts the jade ring on Poopy Koopy. And Poopy Koopy goes, bye, boy. Or boy, bye.
Boy, bye.
Boy, bye. Whatever. I get that confused sometimes.
Boy, bye.
I said slap back the other night instead of clap back.
I like it.
And our friend Elijah was like, you can't just stop. Anyway. And then Rodney Meacham is like, one for the grandkids. And I had two thoughts. One, please don't tell your grandkids about this.
No.
It's so violent. Yes. We'll give them nightmares. Don't
be
also, like
are you going to have grandkids?
Yeah, you're kind of old, Rodney. Like, if you're getting started now.
I mean, Lorne Michaels, I think, had kids at, like, 65.
Yeah, so but
I
mean, then just, his kids have to have kids. That's how grandkids work. I mean,
oh, yeah, that's true.
Second thought. Who's going to do all the paperwork for this incident? It's not going to be Hawk. It's never going to be Hawk.
Yeah, I would love to read this dossier.
I want to read this. I hope Andy writes it. Yeah. I hope Andy writes the paperwork for this event.
He would scrapbook about
it. Oh, my God.
I would love to read
Lucy
it.
Would be, like, cutting pieces from her sweater love to it. Put in it.
Yes. I would love to.
Anyway.
Well, his body disappears as soon as he puts the draining ring on his finger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Cooper, like, springs into action. So he, like, turns to Trubro and he's like, Truman, you have the keys to room 315 of the Great Northern Hotel. And he's like, what? How do you know that? And he's like, Major Briggs told me. I know what's up. So he gives him the key.
The love trysts happen.
And then quickly after that, Cole and the gang. You know, like Cool in the Gang?
Like Cool in the Gang, but Cole in the Gang.
I don't know why I haven't thought of that.
I like it.
Cole and the Gang arrive. And then Bobby walks in the commotion. He's like, what's going on here?
Bobby, what are you doing?
And Bradley Meacham says right after him, you took the words right fucking out of my mouth.
Right.
I was just like, I love that you're here. I love that you're here, Meacham.
Well, during this whole scene is when they have the overlay, right?
It starts really after. So, yeah. So right after that sentence is when we get an opaque overlay of Cooper's face on the screen for like a long time.
Right.
And then Cooper tells him, he's like, thanks to your father, Major Briggs. We are all in this room today. He's the one who orchestrated this.
Right.
And he says, now there's some things that will change and the past dictates the future, mm-hmm. and which is interesting and ominous to say. And then the Andes walk in shortly after. So much food, like so much food. And then Candy's like so pleased with that, and she's like, good thing we brought so many sandwiches. I love this weird shit. This weird shit is my favorite. The Meachums and the Andes are my life.
By far, they need a spin-off show.
I need them in my life forever.
They need a spin-off
I would watch show. Them just clean for a whole episode. Like, yeah. I would watch that. Yeah. I would watch them do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I agree. So then, right after that, Nato starts squawking a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And Cooper walks over to her, and they hold each other's hands up like they're like touching a mirror. And then suddenly smoke starts billowing in front of her face. And then it's like we get a smoky thing, like a black smoke billowing in front of her face.
Like a facial steam.
And then replacing that as an image of the Black Lodge.
Oh, yeah.
And then her face completely opens up like it's cut in half.
Yeah.
And there's nothing inside.
Yeah.
Then her face is removed from her body and floating in the Black Lodge. And then we get a face of Diane, but with red hair in the center of her face.
There's also like a weird diseased vagina that appears in the Black Lodge for like a hot second.
Yeah. Well, it's like her face. It's like her floating half face.
Oh, I get
it. It's like a sliced and fast empty face. So then okay. Diane's face gets in the center. And then we return to the room and Diane is Nato. With red hair, not blonde hair any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And she's standing in front of Cooper. And Cooper and her kiss. And she says, Cooper, the one and only. And then she says Cooper and he says the one and only, I think. Or one of either way.
Right.
They're like validating to each other that they're real selves. And then Cooper asks if she remembers everything.
This question.
But then we also right after that we get a shot of the clock on the wall in the office and it's just toggling right at 2:53 PM.
Right. It's stuck like in time.
Yeah. And then the Cooper layover in a very deep, muffled voice at this point says, we live inside a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And then the real Cooper in the office says that he hopes that he sees them all again.
Mm-hmm. Like in The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. This is very much like
it's
The Wizard
very
of
like
Oz.
The Wizard. Yeah, exactly.
Well,
The Great Oz has a big old face.
Yeah. No, this is The Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm. Like almost exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, after he says that, the whole room fades away. And then we see, we out of the darkness, we see Cole, Cooper. It gets to dark, and then Cole and Cooper shout out to each other first.
Yes.
So they like screaming for each other, like they're each other's lifelines, because they know what each other are going through the most, I guess.
Yeah.
And then emerging from that darkness is Cole, Tammy, or Cole, Diane, and Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And they're walking towards the generator room, which we had previously seen, I think, with James or something. Either with James or something. They're like walking through a room that we've seen before, but it's a lot of generators, similar like electricity generators. And I guess it's in the Twin Peaks Sheriff Station. I guess it can be also in the Great Northern. I'm not 100% sure where this room is. Cooper's able to open a door with the Great Northern key that he has.
Yeah.
And then he turns to Cole and Diane, and he says, I'm going to go through this door, and neither of you should follow me.
Yeah.
And he hugs them goodbye. And then Cole says he will be thinking of him. And Cooper walks through the door and tells him, I'll see you at the curtain call.
Mm-hmm.
So he walks through the door, shuts it. And we get Cooper again emerging through darkness, just like the previous scene. And is greeted by the one-armed man, Billy Bribe. And he says, this is what he says. He says, through the darkness of future past, the magician longs to see. One chance out between two worlds, fire walk with me. So then there's an electricity surge, and you get like an image between Cooper and the one-armed man. And they arrive at the Dutchman's, essentially. It seems like it's the same.
Yeah.
It's the same stairwell that Poopy Coopy walked through.
Right.
And he starts heading up. Like, eventually he heads to the motel. But when they get to the top of the stairs and they start walking through that hallway, unlike when we saw this with Poopy Coopy, we get another electricity surge. And it is the like, small man with a, like, you know, with the plague mask on.
Right,
like
right, coming down the stairs, I think.
Coming down
the
stairs.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Once they go through the hallway, they arrive at the same motel courtyard, and they're going to go visit Philip Jeffries. And then they arrive at they go into his room, and Jeffries just immediately says, be specific. And then Cooper says the date, February 23rd, 1989. And then Jeffrey says, he'll find it for you. It's slippery in here. Is there like a physical man inside of this teapot?
Yeah, he's in the teapot.
This wet old
condensation. Thinks it's slippery.
I love that.
All over the inside of it.
I loved that.
It's slippery.
Like, interesting detail, Jeffries. And then he says that it's good to see you again, Cooper. And I'm wondering if he's referring to like Cooper in general as Philip Jeffries, or when he saw Poopy Coopy not that long ago when he gave him
I don't know. Hard to tell. I would think the original Cooper. I did think OG Coops. Because doesn't he say something in Fire Walk With Me about him not being Cooper or something like that? Or that there's two Coops?
So then I just love that. And he's like, and then he says, so say hello to Gordon if you see him. I'll remember the unofficial version. This is where you'll find Judy. There may be someone. Did you ask me this? This is like verbatim what he wrote, what he said was that in the series.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like he's kind of kind of like forgetting and also recalling that he spoke with Poopy Coopy before.
Right.
And then the steam rises. From the teapot.
From Jeff, the Jeff pot.
And at first it's the original diamond with ears, or like the owl shape that we keep seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ears remove from the diamond and become another diamond. So it's two diamonds on top of each other. And then they turn into a clear figure eight shape.
Right. Which is the infinity symbol.
Yeah.
As well.
And then there's an eight on the right hand, like the bottom right hand side of the eight figure.
Yeah.
Eight.
Mm-hmm.
And then the eight does a 180 and the ball switches sides. It's like,
it says like the symbol for the Black Lodge.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like,
also you, is a symbol for infinity. Is basically,
well, it's also like, it's, yeah, like, and it's, yeah, and it's that this, you'd be traveling the same
through this loop
for infinity,
but in two different worlds because there's two different loops.
Yes,
for forever and forever, yep, and forever.
Mm, look at you.
I know. I really graduated to another realm of understanding. I'm not gonna lie to you. I kind of hate it.
You hate that you understand the show.
Yes. But it's okay because it makes it, at least I have moments watching it where I'm like, oh, that's a, instead of, because it used to be that I would watch it and be like, what the fuck is going on? Am I stupid? And now I watch it and I go, oh, I'm not stupid. I just still don't care.
You just, yeah, that's fine. You don't have to care. So, So Jeffrey's has, like, after the figure eight comes up, Jeffrey's just like, well, there it is. You can go now, Cooper. Remember. And so the one armed man right after that, he says electricity, and we get the same kind of like jolting of images back, yeah, and forth, shaking between Cooper and then in the one armed man and the Jeffrey's teapot. And then we are transported to the scene in Firewalk with Me, where Laura runs away from her father and jumps on the back of James's motorcycle.
Yeah.
It's actually in black and white.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Mm-hmm. And he...
it looks good.
Oh, it looks
it
great.
It looks really good.
And they said they're heading to the woods together. And Cooper is through the trees watching James and
this whole
Laura.
Scene from the movie.
Like, yeah, it's the exact same from the movie. He's watching this happen. And this is where, also where Laura tells James that the Laura he knew disappeared.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even know the true her anymore.
Yeah.
That you don't really love this Laura.
Right.
You don't know me. And so she's like, just take me home. So they start riding away and she hops off her motorcycle at Sparkwood and 21, the famous light,
intersection.
Yeah. And she begins running through the woods towards Leo and Renette and Jack, where she's supposed to meet them.
Right.
But instead is met by Cooper in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And Laura asks who he is and if she knows him. And then says that she has seen him in a dream. She's like, oh, actually, I do know you. I've seen you before. And so Cooper holds his hand out to her and then Laura takes it. And then from here, we actually see, like, from the moment that they touch hands in this moment, we see that Laura's body on the shore of the lake actually disappears.
Yeah.
That this moment stops her from dying.
Right.
And then we return to Cooper and Laura in the woods and they're no longer in black and white anymore. Actually, they're back in color.
Yeah.
And Laura asks, where are they going? And he just tells them they're going home.
See, to me, this is like, he's fucked with time, so he's destroyed that reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
But at the same time, like, that's also the impetus of when things, like, it's kind of like a Harry Potter Patronus situation. Like, was he always there?
Yeah, no, like, yeah.
But this time he made a different
decision.
Like, was
the reality he was living to begin with, was it real?
No, I just mean, did he always go back to this same point, but like this time he's making a different decisions? Or maybe Poopy Coopy always went back to the same point or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, like the loop, like a time loop is all I'm thinking.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
Well, so then we also, which I love this part of the whole episode, where we actually get the original, like we get a shot, like an episode from the pilot scene where Pete leaves.
Oh my god. We got to see Pete Martell.
We saw Josie putting on makeup and looking at herself in the mirror.
We saw I actually got a little teary at this.
I know. And Pete saying goodbye to Catherine and Catherine not giving a fuck at all.
Being Catherine.
And Pete's like, I'm gonna go fishing, and he doesn't see Laura's body because
he
just goes fishing. And so then we get this scene. Insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so much, every time we go there, it's like so much, I don't know, the emotions of these scenes just really hit home.
Uh-huh.
We cut to Sarah Palmer's house, where there is like a strange electricity sound happening all throughout her house,
mm-hmm.
and a crying, moaning in pain.
Yeah.
Like agony.
Yeah.
And, you know, it looks exactly like Sarah Palmer's living room as it has been looking.
Right. 2017.
2017 Sarah Palmer. And then she emerges just from another room into the living room and grabs the picture, the, you know, the famous framed picture of Laura Palmer, yeah. the prom queen. And she starts, and then there's like a weird scratching and humming.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the music gets, you know, the sound design of this fucking show. Like,
it is great. It is amazing.
And so it starts getting really weird. And then Sarah places Laura's frame on the ground and just starts smashing it. And then we cut back to the woods where Cooper is holding Laura's hand. They keep walking forward. We get a scratching sound, the same kind of scratching sound we were listening to in Sarah's house. And then Laura disappears.
Yeah.
But we can hear Laura screaming.
Yeah.
And then, like, screaming terribly.
Yeah.
And then nothing but sounds of crickets in the forest.
Yeah.
And then we get a panning shot of an empty forest. We fade to red curtains in the stage of the roadhouse, and where we see Julie Cruise, and she's performing a song called "The World Spins."
Yeah,
and that's the end of part 17.
This episode had the most fan service, but I really was like heart wrenching to watch so much of this Twin Peaks stuff.
Oh, it's yeah, and also like, I mean, you guys are going to listen to part 18, hopefully, right after this.
You guys have to listen to part 18 right after this.
We're
going to
get there.
So just go right into it. Marathon.
We're
going to
get there. This was the ending.
Basically, yeah. This was truly the ending for me.
Yeah. This was the ending. And
it's satisfying.
It was really good.
Yeah. I like this episode a lot. I actually really like the next episode, which is unlike me.
I really like the next episode.
But I really like that one, yeah.
I like it.
All right, Meredith.
Because you know me, I was ready for nothing to happen.
Yeah, you were ready for that.
I was ready for nothingness.
I think we all were. If anybody wasn't ready for nothingness, then they don't understand.
And I think I'm ready to reckon with like a feeling rather than like an actual story.
Yeah, me too.
And I think that this whole show is mood.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it.
Mm-hmm. Mood and kind of sound. Yeah.
And
loose concepts.
Right. And for you to put whatever feelings you want into it. It's a pretty empty vessel.
Yeah, true. It's a bob blob.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
It's a bob blob.
Meredith, who's your favorite minor character?
Candy.
Yeah, coming in with just stealing the show with one line.
I'm so
glad
you brought
so many sandwiches.
Me too, Candy.
Me too.
Anyone who brings sandwiches is welcome to the party.
We love you, Candy. My favorite minor character was Hawk. Just coming in and bringing logic into the room. He just always comes in and he's like, what the fuck is going on? He has this look where he just looks around and he's like, oh, the white people.
I love him.
Every time I leave, I come back. Something crazy is happening.
Fucking white people.
Can't they just smoke some weed and move on? I mean, it's goddamn Washington, you know?
It's legal here.
It's legal now, everyone. Relax.
I do love him.
I love Hawk.
Sweeping proclamations. Okay, you go first.
I got a big one.
All right, I'm ready.
Jade, the sex worker, is Jody.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that.
She is powerful and in control. And she is in control of her body and her job and her vision and her sexuality. And I love her.
She's very responsible for Cooper.
She started all this evilness.
She put Cooper on his path.
Yeah, she put Cooper on his path.
She's
lucky.
She's
a lucky Jade, but she's also an evil Jade. And I like her. And she's my spirit animal. And that's my sweeping proc.
Also, the Jeep is my spirit animal.
Also, that Jeep. Okay, cool.
My sweeping proclamation is, yeah, I would say that Cooper's stuck in a time loop. Like,
I felt that too.
I think that no matter what he does, Well, I think that you can never go to the Black Lodge without having to truly sacrifice something.
Yeah.
Who knows what that is?
Right.
Like Wizard of Oz, for instance, mm-hmm, right? Like mm-hmm. I don't even know how to phrase this correctly.
Well, also like the concept of you can never go home, like in Wizard of Oz, there's no place like home.
Yeah, home. Like he was never gonna go back to. I mean, Harry's not there to begin with.
First off, Harry Truman's not there. So
he's
it's
never
not like he can go back to Twin Peaks.
Not go back to Twin Peaks. It's not gonna be the same.
We can't go back there.
We cannot go back.
We can't. Even we as Twin Peaks fans, we can't go home.
But
it'll
yeah, I think it's also like that concept of never going home is also just like about like you can never go back.
Yeah. Can't go back in time.
You can't fix things.
Nope.
I don't know.
You can't fix a murder.
You can't fix a murder.
That is this whole show. You can't fix a murder.
Yeah, that's it.
Episode one.
I don't know. That's not really a sweeping proclamation at this point. Like,
yes, it was. It was very sweeping. You talked about the entirety of the show. The biggest sweep you've ever made.
Yeah. It's
Okay.
The show is so cray.
Where's Bob?
Get a little piece of Bob go in everyone in that room.
A little piece of Bob is in all of us. Bob is in all of us.
I have a little Bob Lob in me.
I got a little Bob in me too.
It's great.
It makes me hate Thanksgiving.
Thanks, but no thanks, Bob.
Thanks, but no thanks, Bob. What, Meredith? What has Donna been up to?
Oh, well. Donna is now living an existence without Laura Palmer.
Yeah. Donna, yeah.
So she's a housewife in Twin Peaks with four kids.
Uh-huh.
Married to a doctor.
Yep.
Because she had a doctor for her father.
Because she had a doctor. Yep.
That's it.
And then after Dr. Hayward passed away, she had to take her mom, who she hates.
Hates.
So she built a mother-in-law suite for Mrs. Hayward. And she fucking hates her. But she like
there's
pushes
no door.
Her around.
There's only know? A window. There's no doors.
There's no
she door. Has to just she delivers her food
through the window.
She can like, never
you're
leave.
You're never gonna get out, Mom.
You're never gonna leave.
You're never gonna leave. Just like you're never gonna be my real mom or my real or just like
she
I'm never gonna have a real
her
dad.
Cream porn. Cream porn.
And cream porn.
I said cream porn.
She serves her both. She's old. That doesn't mean she doesn't have a libido. Here you go, Mom. Have your porn. I gotta go take care of my four kids in the house with the door. What?
Love it. The house with the door. You wish you could have a
you
door.
You wish you had a door. It's like in The Sims when you would build a room with no doors and they could never get out, so they'd pee themselves and die.
You wish.
You wish you had a door.
Okay, guys. On that note, follow us. Go to enter our social media doors at TWBD Podcast.
What an amazing segue. Enter our social media doors.
Come through our social media doors anytime you want.
Anytime.
At TWBD Podcast.
Any fucking time.
On Instagram and Twitter.
Open 24/7.
Facebook.com/TWBD Podcast. Don't forget that. Also, our website, therewillbedrinkingpodcast.com.
Yeah.
Also, our email, give us your feels at TWBDpodcast@gmail.com. Also, rate and subscribe.
Oh, my God. Rate and subscribe.
It's so important.
It's so important. We love it. We love every one of you who does it. We've gotten the sweetest ratings. We've gotten the sweetest emails. And just the more you do it, the more we know you care. And we care so much. We yell.
So
we scream,
much.
We dress up. We buy jewelry that matches the show.
I want to shout out to Lightning Liam for writing us a
Lightning
review.
Lightning Liam.
You're so nice.
You're so nice.
I love
giving
you.
Us five stars.
And you called us such fun.
We are fun.
I love you so much, Lightning Liam.
I love you too, Lightning Liam. Lightning Liam, do you want to come to Thanksgiving?
I hope so.
I hope so too. I think Lightning Liam would be a great time.
And please if you want to donate some money,
if you help us a little
bit. I know that we're not doing this show anymore, but you guys don't forget that we have the mothership. There will be drinking.
Yes.
That's where this name comes from. I think if you forget about that, that would be silly.
You gotta follow us on that.
You can support us and allow us to keep doing that and maybe more recaps in the future.
Please.
Who knows? Patreon.com/TWBDpodcast.
And I do want to say one thing, and I think you're going to roll your eyes at me, but you probably feel exactly the same way.
What?
If you have $5 to donate to us to help us with our podcast and it's all you have, please donate it to Houston or Florida instead, because we both have family in Texas and Florida. And like, we get it.
It's okay.
If you don't have enough to donate to us, we'll be fine.
That's okay.
But we do want to throw it out.
But if you have $20 in your pocket.
Yeah, I mean, be a good citizen, because we're trying our best and we're trying to like carry on with this and have fun. But, you know, if you have a little extra, throw it that way.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Throw it over there.
All right.
All right, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
High up your life.
High up that life, motherfuckers.
Have a damn fine cup of coffee.
Have a damn fine cup of coffee.